We're going to have a big Sunday school today. We're feeding breakfast and then Sunday school and then worship service. Worship service now and then worship service at 10 o'clock. Thank you for being here to sunrise service. And we want you to stay for breakfast and Sunday school and church. So I hope that you can make those three events. Let me lead us in a word of prayer and then we'll kick off. Our Father, we thank and praise you for this day, for every blessing of life. We know that without the resurrection of Jesus, we would not be able to celebrate this. So we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We pray that you'd take this service and be honored with it, Lord. We lift up our praise to you this morning. We give you all of our adoration. We pray that your Spirit would help us worship today as we enter this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, page 160 of your songbook, if you want, or the words will be on the PowerPoint. Low in the grave he lay.
If you want to follow along, I'll be reading from Mark 15, 21 through 39. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto a place called Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of the accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, and that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come down to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God.
Page 141.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost attraction for me, for the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
All righty. Well, yeah, it got changed, but I just now noticed that. Come on down, Ben. Everybody's looking at you right now anyway, so you might as well just come on.
Through 47. Now when evening had come, because it was the day of the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid.
All right, page 533, we're going to sing He Lives.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, I believe today. He walks with me and talks with me alone. There away, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is moving and all of them. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, someday. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. There's none as I'll be loving, so good and kind. He lives, someday. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives.
I'll be reading from Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 9 to the finish, if you wish to follow. Now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe. And after that, he appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. And they went away and reported to the others, but they did not believe them either. And afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had been seen by him after he had risen. For those who had seen him after he had risen, excuse me. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be damned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed.
And ask you to stand again as we sing our last song for this morning, then Brother Roger will come up. Jesus Messiah.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. From heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for us. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. Lord of all.
I think I got this thing on. Good deal. Morning, church. He is risen. Tell you what, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Stand up one more time. If you're able, just stand up one more time. I know we've done that a few times this morning. You reckon that's how he did it? When he rose up that morning? Rose up out of that tomb. I've never been to a funeral and seen anybody set up in the casket. That'd be something. But how do you reckon Jesus got up that morning? That day, how do you reckon he rose up out of that tomb? Did he jump up? Did he just set up? Turn around, folded that linen. That'd have been a sight to see, wouldn't it? You may be seated. You know, I've been struggling with this on what to talk about. It's been on my mind for some time, and I don't know why. God put, I just feel like somebody's here that needs to hear it. It's not going to be a normal Easter message. Then again, that you all have known me for so long. No, there's nothing normal about me. I've worked with teenagers for so long, I don't know how to be normal. But just be patient with me, and we'll get around to the point of this. I think about sunrise service, I've accepted change, but this morning it's pretty cloudy. Not just a real pretty morning out there, but the sun is still shining. All right, and y'all remember when before we expanded, we used to have that window back there, and I remember one Easter Sunday sunrise service, just a a beam of light shining through that window. Man, it just really, you know, got me to thinking about Easter and what all the Father has done for us. You know, and what I want to try to get across today in this message is your relationship with Him and where you're at. On Friday morning, neither one of me or Holly had to go to work, so we got to sleep in until at least 7. And I'd gotten up, let the dogs out. When I came back, laid back down, I noticed her kind of holding her head. And I said, "You got a headache?" And she said, "Yeah." So I did what any good husband would do. You know, I'm laying there and I start rubbing her head and I'm rubbing her temples. And I just keep combing her head, you know, and combing her hair back and just trying to be gentle and stuff. Then I leaned over and whispered in her ear, "You're going to look like Don King when you get up." Because I just kept slicking it back and stuff, you know, just ruining the moment, I'm telling you. But you know, I got to just sitting there thinking about me and her life. I think it was in 1984. A little girl came up to me in the hallway, in front of Miss Howard's class, actually, and said, "Hey, you know Holly, she likes you." I said, "Well, I know of her. I know who she is, but I don't know her." Well, since then, we've got to know each other. I know what she likes. I know what she dislikes. I know what button to push and not to push. Now, I've watched her age with me and me with her, and, you know, and we studied each other. We knew each other. That's a relationship your Father wants to have with you every day. And in this Word is how we do that. And I'm going to talk on something that every one of you have heard so many times. You know, I'm kind of a simple person. I don't read a lot unless it's got pictures. I can flip through any magazine with the best of them and look at pictures and read articles, but I'm not a big reader, never have been. But I've always liked to paint a picture with a story whenever I read it. You know, so we studied this in youth group here a month or two ago, and it just really spoke to me. And we're going to be talking about, you know, the parables in Luke 15. You're going, "Oh, parables, okay, yeah, we've heard this. The coin, the sheep, and the prodigal son." But I want to show you something in it that really stood out to me. So I'm going to be reading through here, and we're just going to, you know, we can't go wrong if we're reading God's Word, whatever it is. So we're going to read that and look at a few things in here that we can talk about this morning in Easter and try to paint a picture. Chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him." All right, just remember, nobody liked tax collectors back then. All right, we're not real fond of them now, but you know, it's something that nobody really cared for them. "And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" It doesn't take long for the Pharisees to start grumbling. And, you know, and it's something that I've tried to understand it, but I don't. Is, you know, for whatever weird reason, the Pharisees are mad at Jesus, somebody they didn't like, for attracting people they didn't like. And I've struggled with that. You know, so it's just, you know, it doesn't make sense. But then again, a hardened heart never does. And that's what the Pharisees had at this time. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over 99 persons who need no repentance. You know, what I pick up on this one is real quick that the shepherd found the lost sheep. What's the first thing he does when he goes back? He calls his friends and neighbors, which could possibly not have known that this sheep had been lost, and ask them to rejoice. We should be doing that every day, that we find one lost sinner finds home. We need to celebrate together as a church. And you know, and that is what he did. You know, it showed how much love. Everybody knew in the neighborhood how much love he had for his sheep. And he proved that, and you know, they all rejoiced with him. They was happy with him. Verse 8, "For what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light up a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me.'" There once again, no way, they knew she had lost her coin. "For I found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." You know, I want you to notice in both of these what lights up heaven. The sinner coming home and the lost being found is what lights up heaven. And then we go on to the parable of the lost son. You know, I've heard this talked and preached on many times. And a lot of times we get to the parable of the lost son, we like to just talk about the lost son. And it kind of stops there. And you'll see what I mean in just a moment, that it's not just about that lost son coming home, but I'll break it down here in just a second. So let's look at this. "Then he said, 'A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me." So he divided to them his livelihood." What the son here is telling dad is, "I don't want to be a part of this family anymore. I don't care if you die. I just want what's mine, and I'm going to be gone." You know, it was very custom in those days for the son to live next to the father until he passed, to help in the farms or whatever. But he didn't want any sentimental things. He didn't want a relationship. He didn't want any things. He just wanted what he thought was his and to go on. You know, so I mean, that's a pretty, you know, we don't know how big this farm was or this estate was, but you know, it was custom for the oldest son back then to get 50% or whatever it was, and then the next son got half of that. So about 25% of this estate is what was coming to this young man. And, you know, I kind of picture that the Pharisees at this time listening in the story is going, "All right, Jesus is fixing to tear into them younger sons." They're probably looking at all the young kids in the room at the time and just saying, "All right, he's going to tear into them right here." And, you know, Pharisees were probably on Team Dad at this time, but, you know, he goes on to talk about that. Let's just read it. "But when he had spent all..." I'm getting ahead of myself. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and wasted his possessions with prodigal living. You know, lots of times, you know, I try to think of myself as not the prodigal son. But what kind of prodigal living do we have every day? That, you know, it says in here, you know, you break that down, that he went and partied, he was out with prostitutes, you know, he did all the things that he should not do. He went and lived up the high life. He went and lived up the worldly life, as they call it, and went and squandered all this stuff away. Young people, I can tell you, if you got the money and you got the supplies, you'll have friends. They'll hang out with you until it all runs out. And then they're going to leave you. And that's what happened here. He just got left. And, you know, he squandered this, though. He got down where he thought he was in a pretty low spot. And he got rid of everything. So when he had spent all there was, a severe famine rose in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and that no one gave him anything. You know, at this point, some people may think that Jesus was just pulling something out of the air, you know, to tell this story. But to say that this young man, this Jewish boy, had gotten low enough that he had to go and feed swine was very significant. Pigs was unacceptable to the Jewish that time. They didn't eat them. They didn't cook them. They didn't touch them. They didn't trust anybody who did. So for this young man to have to go and to feed pigs, you know, they just looked at him as, you know, one of the rules then was they was considered kosher if they was hovened hooves and had chewed their cud. And that's kind of where the pigs got their name. You know, I know some people in here raise pigs. We raise pigs with the kids when they were younger, showing. And, you know, them old pigs, they just lay out there in the sun, stick them old hooves out there. And they look at me. I'm hovened hooved. I'm clean. They didn't chew their cud. So that is where the Jewish, you know, called the Gentiles hypocrites. And they were swine. Because the pigs would make everybody think they were clean, but they were not. And, you know, and it's just something that this young man had gotten as low as he could possibly get. And, you know, and that may be where some of you all are in here today. You may feel like you're in a bad spot. You're low as you can get, but just hang on, it gets better. All right? Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and spare and perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son, and make me like one of your hired servants." This son realized where he was at, that he was lost. And the first thing he did was he came to himself. Sometimes we have to come to that spot. And we have to realize that humility must come first, that we have to surrender and turn around and go to the Father. You know, and that's where this young man is at this point, where, you know, he realized he's at the bottom. And he is going to turn and go back and ask for forgiveness. Not to be a son, just to be a servant. And but we'll read now what the our loving Father does. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had a belt and went and met him in the field. Is that what it says? It does not. I mean, dads, there's been many times I've been upset with what my kids have done. And, you know, didn't always approve of what they did. I ain't saying I ain't ever disciplined them, I have. But that's not where this father was at that time. It says that he went out and he had compassion for him. What have you done this week that you need compassion for? You know, we can say, you know, well, I didn't go blow all my money on prodigal living. Have we not? Have we done things that this last week that we are not proud of? Or we have we done things that, you know, looked at pictures maybe that we shouldn't have, or things across the internet, or read something, or listened to something, or, you know, stole time from the boss, or whatever it may be? You know, we can still go to that Father, and he's got compassion. And, you know, it's the son had already rehearsed all this. He'd already, you know, I just read what he was going to tell the dad. And it says that the father came with compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, here's where he's going to, you know, he'd already rehearsed this. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and no longer worthy to be called your son. But before he could even say, make me a servant, the dad just said, shh, just got this. And, you know, he cut him off and told him immediately just to bring out the best. Bring out the ring. Bring out the sandals. Go kill the fatted calf. And you know, we look at these parables of the coin, the sheep, even the son, and we got to remember that Jesus wasn't talking to a bunch of lost people at this time. He's talking to the Pharisees who refused to repent. So he's trying to get their attention. And but let me speak to you all, no matter where you're at on the spectrum, whether you're the coin that didn't know you were lost, whether you're the sheep that never been taught, whether you're the lost son that, you know, it just went down the wrong road. Never forget your worth in God's eyes. All right? He created you for His glory. And, you know, no matter what we do, you know, you see yourself as the Father sees you, not as you see yourself. He can look past the dirt. He can look past the valleys. He can look past the pig slop. And He wants you to be what He created you to be. You know, if I went out here and grabbed one of these basketballs and put it in my hand, that basketball would be worth about $19. I took that same basketball and put it in the hands of Michael Jordan, the value of that basketball would go to about $33 million. Okay? I go and get a baseball, and I put it in my hand. I've got a $9 baseball. I go and put that baseball in Mark McGuire's hand, it'll go to $18 million. It's all in whose hands it's in. You know, I go get me a rod or a staff, I can beat on an old cow with it. I put that rod or staff in Moses' hand, he can part a sea. It all depends on whose hands it's in. Give me a slingshot. I've got a kid's toy, breaking windows. Put it in David's hand, he becomes a mighty warrior. You give me two fish and five loaves of bread, I'll have a couple good sandwiches. You put them in God's hands, he'll feed thousands. You give me some nails, put them in my hand, I might build you a birdhouse. But you put those same nails in Jesus' hand, he'll give you salvation for the entire world. Don't ever forget your worth. You know, you notice the Father, he never stopped searching. I pictured that dad sitting on the porch every day watching the horizon. See, if that son was coming home, never quit searching. Oh, and the other two parables that talked about it, you know, he went looking. But here, never stopped searching. He just kept watching the horizon to see if that son was coming. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever lost your kid before. I left one here once. He's never let me forget that. We took off on the church bus to go home, and I guess Brother Russell actually called me and said, "You forget something?" I went, "No." And he said, "You got all your kids?" Yeah, crud. And boy, Trey, he never let us forget that. But, you know, you lose your kid. I mean, Faith used to be really bad about at Walmart diving in them little clothes rings and hiding. You know how fast they disappear. I mean, you turn around 1 second, they're gone, and panic strikes in. You know, we search for our children. You know, and I think about that panic. And the first thing that does not come to my mind is, well, I hope they learned their lesson. Next time, they'll listen to me. That's not what comes to mind. You just want to run and grab them. Hug them. And when it says that he grabbed up his son and he kissed him, don't you know the Pharisees just kind of, I picture Jesus saying that. You know, he ran with compassion. He grabbed him. He hugged him. After he'd been feeding them pigs. And the Pharisees just wilted at that time. But I told you all that to tell you this. That's not even what I was going to talk about. We're going to talk about the other one. You know, because in my opinion, it's not all about the lost son as much as it is the older brother. And look at it real quick. In verse 25. Now his older son was in the field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, "What's these things meant?" And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." So, we got to remember there's a party going on at the house. And the older son has come up, wants to know what is going on. And, you know, and up to this point, up to verse 25, in all these parables, we have discussed the father's heart. But now we're fixing to see the Pharisee's heart. And the brother should have been thrilled that little brother was home. But he was jealous. You know, how does jealousy work? If you look in verse 28, it says, "But he was angry and would not go in." Therefore, once again, what's dad do? What's father do? He comes searching. The father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, you know, in my translation here it says, "Lo." You can also say, he looked at his dad and he said, "Now look!" You never did that to your dad. How'd that work for you? I tell you, that'll get you lined out pretty quick. "These many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your command at any time, and yet never gave me a young goat, and I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son of yours came home," as soon as your son came home, not my brother, "who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." So the first thing this boy wants to point out is that he had served for all these years. You know, in other words, he wants to say, "I have slaved for you and got nothing." And he focused on what he didn't have instead of what he does. And he wants more than what he already has. You know, and that's the problem with worldly Christians, is we're working with the wrong heart. And do you have a heart to serve? Here's how you know. Do you celebrate when others find him? If you don't have a heart for lost people, you're always going to be selfish. And the older brother was focused on acts of work, not grace. He looked for future favor instead of current favor. He was living a life of comparison. I mean, he's throwing a fit that he's telling dad, he said, "I've done nothing but work for you. I didn't even get any goat meat. This boy comes home and you give him T-bone steaks. How's that fair?" You know, and it goes on and it tells him, he said, "Son," and he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad that your brother was dead and is now alive and was lost and is found." Everything the father has was already his. He just didn't take it. He didn't accept it. He didn't realize what he had. The father spoke to him softly and told him, "Don't ever forget you're a son or a daughter." Well, that's each one of you. Don't ever forget that. And, we have got to make sure our hearts are right. Serve not only for a blessing, but for his glory. Because everything this older son was complaining and criticizing his brother about, all the things that he had done, he was doing the same thing. He just didn't smell like pigs. And, we cannot, no matter where you're at on this spectrum, today we're celebrating the risen Savior. That, a father has shown his love in a way that I can't comprehend. It came a lot more clear whenever I had my son, to realize how much God must love me to sacrifice his son for me. Something that I can't honestly say I'd do for anybody, would give up my son in a way that he did. We looked this last week in youth or on Wednesday night of when Jesus went to the garden to pray, ask his father, is there any other way? He knew what was about to happen. God said it had to be this way for us, for you. So no matter where you are at in life, the Father loves you. He's here for you. And we're not serving a make-believe God. He is risen. He is alive. That spirit that was there and rose him from that tomb, that spirit can live in you today. And I pray that each one of you's knowing, whether you're the older son that's lost and don't know it, that son was there every day. There may be some of you all that come to this church every Sunday. You may know of him, but you don't know him. And I just ask you, make for sure that you can, you got your eternity staked on that. So it's something that we want to celebrate and give you the opportunity to accept Christ today. Don't leave this place today without it. Speak to one of us. Michael, you're going to do a song of invitation? No? Okay. So, but I ask you, just come find me. Come find Brother Lanny. Come find somebody to speak to it about today that you know this risen Savior that we serve. He will have compassion on whatever you've done, wherever you've been. And, it's just something that he loves you. So let's close with a word of prayer and we'll ask the blessing. Grace Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your house. And Lord, we thank you for sending your son. That Lord, that he died for us, for all of us. We're so undeserving, Lord, that your love for us is unbelievable. The love you have for each son and daughter here. Lord, we just ask that you be with us as we celebrate this day. Lord, be with us now as we go with this time of fellowship and together. And Lord, we just ask you bless the food and bless those that have prepared it and continue to go on with us as we go to Sunday school and to come back here, Lord, and hear your word once again and celebrate you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.